Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 3 and 4 is our text this morning. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Then verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. The days of Ezekiel were the days of apostasy. The people of Israel had been taken into captivity into Babylon and were languishing there for a period of 70 years while the Lord did his work in Israel. The people there had committed a great evil. They had set up idols in their hearts. Just imagine, if you will, a golden calf in front of you, a golden calf set up by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, a golden calf set up to divide the people religiously because it was too much for you to go up into Jerusalem to worship the Lord there. Behold your gods, O Israel, who delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Divided. They were divided from God. Those idols were in their hearts. One does not need to be bowed down before some image to be worshiping an idol in his heart. I'm sure all of you have gone into a restaurant and seen this fat, happy man sitting there on the side of the cash register waiting for you to rub his tummy. Many people think that's the level of idolatry of our day. Now, people do worship Buddha and practice Buddhism, but today many people have much more idols in their hearts. And the world around you, how many people have money laid on the game today or on the game in February? How many people are treating it as the thing that cannot be interrupted, that we must sit before that rectangular idol and bow down ourselves before the idol of football? These things do run in the hearts of people. Many people come deer season, well, they have to be in the deer stand. Nothing will keep them from it. And in spring, on those first few beautiful days, they have an appointment out in nature that nothing can stand between them and their idol. We understand that the Bible heart is not that which pumps blood, but the part of man which believes and reasons. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse 7, Romans 10, verse 10. What is an idol? An idol is an image or representation of deity, which is made and used as an object of worship. Strictly speaking, that's what an idol is, and many of you don't think that idols are around, but they are. There are those that bow down and worship other gods, those that were for a long time past in the Far East are now here among us, and they have put up their idols among us that we and they can worship. An idol may also be an object of passion, anything that we place above God in worth. There are many, very great many, that place education above God. Nothing wrong with education as long as it's in its place. Many people put family above God. Nothing wrong with caring for family. In fact, we're expected to. But above God, no, not in the least. So we are to understand that there are things that can be placed above God in our lives, and we must be careful about that. Almost anything can become an idol to us if we are not careful. Our collections may become idols to us. Some people collect stamps. Some people collect thimbles. Some people collect little pig pictures up on the wall. But if they become more important to us than the God in heaven, time for them to come down. Time for their position to be changed. For many, possessions become an idol. We need to understand that we do not have to have a lot of possessions to make an idol of them. But anything that we have that comes between us and God becomes an idol. Many who do not have much seem to be willing to do what it takes to acquire possessions. It's all they think about. Owning a little or a lot is not the key, but thoughts toward possessions are. Notice with me, if you will, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? We see the commercials on the television all the time. Are you prepared for tomorrow? And some financial company will tell you that you need to have this much laid by for your future, usually a much brighter future than you're living today. But many times those things become idols. When we're not rich toward God, the life that we're waiting for becomes the idol as well. Life is not measured by what we possess, neither is our faithfulness to the Lord. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Finally, his possessions possessed him. He was covetous for the things that he already had. He would not let them go for God and his commands. Possessions can keep us out of heaven. We may do excellent in many areas, and yet, if we have the idol of possession in our hearts, we will miss heaven. I do not know the man's name. Perhaps you do, and one day you could tell me. But there was a man that lived in the Nashville, Tennessee area who was a benefactor to many good causes. He was head of an insurance company, and I remember him being one of the benefactors to Marshall Keeble and Brother Keeble's effort to preach the gospel among his own people. And he had given away so much of his fortune that he was in the opposite tax bracket, you know, not the one that you have to give to the government 90%, but he only paid taxes on 10% of what he brought home because he gave away so much of it. He found that he didn't need it in his life. He earned all that money, but he simply had no need for it. And so he began to give it away, step by step, give it away until he didn't pay taxes much anymore. He had to file, I'm sure, but simply wasn't paying any anymore because of the amount of it that he gave away. He was not attached to his possessions. They didn't own him. He owned them and did with them what God would will him to. Notice what Paul says about true wealth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. I was at the bank the other day, and I noticed this young lady had this little jar of something that allowed her to deal with the money. And I think I'm going to have to get me some of that stuff. The pages are so dry, or my fingers are so dry, it's very difficult for me to turn them today. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, or yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. How did the Apostle Paul treat money? For what it was. He treated it as what it was, something to be worked with, to get the job done. If he didn't have any, well, he just didn't have any to use. Or if he had a great deal, he had a great deal to use for the gospel of Christ. True wealth is not in what we possess physically. True wealth is what God gives us. For many, popularity becomes an idol. A popular person is someone who can earn a great deal. Many have sold their souls for popularity. They want everyone to know who they are. They want everyone to be able to look up to them. They want everyone to think well of them. Many parents have sold their children's souls for popularity. Popularity for many costs too great of a price. You know that you have to act a certain way, dress a certain way, think a certain way in order to be popular to the great populace. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Sometimes it costs way too much to act a certain way. It costs too much to live a certain way, to dress a certain way. John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Imagine it, if you will, a man contemplating the synagogue, or this wonder-working, miracle-working one who no one ever heard the kind of things that came out of his mouth. That particular one that they knew was the Messiah. The synagogue or the Messiah? If I don't go with the synagogue, I might be put out of the synagogue. And then where will I be? My business connections are there. But I believe in the Messiah, and so I should follow him. But then, where will I be in my society? Can you imagine this going back and forth in someone? It's not just for the ancient day. But we have chief rulers among us right now. Chief rulers who give up on Christ for their families, for their position in a community, for their education, for many other things. Give up Christ so that they can be popular somewhere. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43 are some of the saddest verses in all the Bible. The want of popularity can keep one from obeying God. John chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things that will they do to you, because they have not known the Father, but me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. If you think you can be a faithful member of the Lord's church and not face persecution, your thinking is wrong. In fact, as our parents used to say, you have another think coming. You need to think again. You cannot be popular in the world and follow Christ. You cannot follow Christ and be popular in the world. Oh, you can do something to make your name famous, but that's not the kind of popularity we're talking about. The kind of popularity we're talking about is where you please people, where people are glad to see you coming. They know your name. They know your family. That's the kind of popularity we're talking about. You're one of them because you do the things that they like. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. But we are to never be ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Not ashamed. What do you mean by that, Paul? Well, I mean that I'm not going to choose popularity over the gospel. That's for certain. Why is that? Because popularity is not worth what the gospel of Christ is worth. The power of God unto salvation. How can that compare? But many people throw away the gospel every day for just a little bit of popularity, just to please one person, much less a whole town, a whole family, or a whole anything. Just throw it away because of popularity. For many, position becomes an idol. Some think that position is more important than God. What they have attained of their own devices in this world is more important than what God has given them. I mean, we are in Christ. We have all the spiritual blessings of Christ. And many throw it away every day because of their position. I am well respected in the community. Well, many people are and are in Christ. But many people have thrown away Christ for their position. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The Apostle Paul begins to tell you about his former position in Judaism, that a lot of people couldn't match up to what he had done. Galatians 2, verse 11, we read, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation or hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Who are we who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Now, what was Peter and then Barnabas doing? Not eating with the Gentiles anymore, not fellowshipping with them, and then keeping exclusively to the Judaizing teachers that had come basically to wreck the gospel. They seemed to be in fellowship with them. I don't know what their thoughts were, but the very thought of it, the very thought of it happening at all was odious to the Apostle Paul. He said, that's hypocrisy. That's what dissimulation means. That they have, because of the position of these people coming from Jerusalem, bowed down to them, basically. Even an apostle can fall into this temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, I don't know that we have any problems with Jews and Gentiles or those that are of one race or another, at least in this congregation. But there is always a temptation, those that have been here a long time, to gather together and not include some others, perhaps, that have been here a short time. I don't know what the walls might be, but all walls need to come down because there is no place for that. John chapter 12 and verse 42, once again. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Position was more important than Christ. These Jewish leaders love position more than truth. There are many in the church like that today. Position means more than the truth does. You know, I heard of one time a group of people. I was probably 10 years old, maybe 12, and I was in the church office after the church services, and I was given the big job of counting the change, you know. Everybody else is counting the bills, and the kids are back there counting the change. Not really counting, just putting the quarters into stacks of four, things like that. And I heard about one of the deacons that was, he was something in the congregation. He was something in business in the community. And they were contemplating what had to be done about he's putting away his wife. He's running around on her, and what are we going to do about it? Can't do anything about it. You know how much he gives? They cared more for him and his money than they did about the truth, more than they did about purity, more than they did about holiness. And such cannot be in the church that Jesus built. For many, recreation becomes an idol. This seems to be the new religion of many today. Serve me first and God second is the attitude of many. Let's make it a party is also the attitude of many. In Exodus chapter 32, God didn't think much of the party that was happening during the time of Moses. As Moses was up on the mount, there were those down at the bottom of the mountain doing things they ought not be doing. Religiously, they were turning to idolatry. Socially, they were turning to one another. And they were putting away the God that brought them out of Israel and turning what they were doing into their own enjoyment. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 6. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not or know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after they had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. This is a temptation that many try to use. try to use even in the church today, to make it all fun and games, to put money under the lucky seat, to make it more like games than like learning, to make it more like something that lifts up man rather than lifts up God. All some want to do is to rise and play. Many care more for fun and games than God. Others try to bring fun and games into the church. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 13, there was a man who was taught by a good father, and yet decided he wanted to go and play, that he had a great inheritance coming, and he wanted to spend it on what he wanted to spend it on. Luke 15, verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The prodigal son carried fun and games to the extreme. This will happen to many when recreation becomes an idol to them. For many, their career becomes an idol. Don't mess with my career. I've fought too long and too hard for the position I'm in and making the money that I am, that if it comes into conflict with the Lord's work, well, what's going to lose? Sure, our careers are important and should be taken seriously, but there is something beyond this. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant to supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the blind, halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men, let's think about that a minute, none of those men, you know, the one that had just married a wife, the one that had to go out and see a piece of land, the one that had just had to do something other than what the Lord bade him to do, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. They're going to be lost. They're going to be outside looking in. If we make other things, even important things to us, our priority before God, all is lost. There are some things that are more important than business. If you were the President of the United States and there's a great importance in that particular position, you're pulled this way and that, and everyone thinks their thing is the most important thing. But there's something more important than the things of the presidency. There are some things more important than our careers. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following. The kingdom must come first in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, let's not let these things with regard to our careers be more important than the things of God. For many, fitness becomes an idol. Physical fitness is a God-approved attribute, but there is something that is even more important. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 tells us that we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Godliness is more important. But sometimes fitness keeps us from those things. I understand we have a great need to keep our bodies fit and healthy to serve us to God. But for some of us, we need to lift 10 more pounds. We need to run just a few hundred yards more. We need to be more and more, and our bodies become our show to the world of our place in the world. It's not as profitable as godliness. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus was being tempted by the devil. And the devil told him, "Why don't you make that stone to become bread so that you won't be hungry anymore?" But Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Not by bread alone, not by anything alone, not by fitness, not by our careers, not by our education, not by our position, not by any of these things, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We cannot live by bread alone, and there is something that is more needful, that is the word of God. For many, our personal desires become an idol. Man never ceases to desire the things that he sees. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. The lusts of the flesh fulfill desires. These fleshly desires are idols to many. Because of personal lusts, men then and now look for teachers to approve their action. They will always find someone who will. Too many care for their own desires than for the desires of God. Setting up idols in the heart is just as serious as setting up a physical idol of wood or a stone or a precious metal. Idolatry is still one of the things that God despises. When tempted, we have a great weapon to fight Satan with. It is tried and true and used by the Lord himself to combat temptation. Still in that place, Matthew chapter 4, where the Lord deals with Satan, he uses the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Try it. It still works. God still leads, still guides, keeps you from covetousness. Idolatry is alive and well today, but we need to kick it out of our lives. With everything that we have, we ought to live lives that puts God in his place, that puts the Christ in his place, and that puts us in our place, under God, under the Father, under the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It perhaps may be that this very hour that there are those that need help, need the prayers of the church in order to get covetousness out of your life, in order to get idolatry out of your life. Don't let the opportunity go by without availing yourself of that help. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, the time is now to take care of that. You have no promise of tomorrow. Tomorrow is something that is not promised. It may happen. It's simply the order of things. But Jesus may come tomorrow. Or this planet may be left behind tomorrow. That is, by some disaster or something or other. We have no idea what nature is going to bring. We have no idea what will happen with the natural forces of us. We go out on the highway and we see it's been snowed upon. And forces are not normal. We could lose our grip on the road and be in a ditch in a moment. Time is not yours. Time is God's. It may be your enemy. You need to deal with those things of God now. If you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, don't let the moment go by. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you repented of your sins? Are you willing to confess Christ before men? We can assist you with these matters. Won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?